Hello and welcome. I'm Veronica Torres, and I'm really, really happy you've joined us for tonight's conference call. Thank you very much for tuning in. So tonight's call is going to focus specifically on two things, and then after we've covered those two things, we'll go into Q&A mode with Elohim. I think that sounds like a nice project. So in our private Facebook group, which we're happy to have you join if you have not already, it's called Connect with Elohim on Facebook, we talk a lot about what's going on for people. And what's been coming up very consistently is this idea of being an information gatherer. And I think it's not surprising that one of the reasons that that goes on is because folks meet me primarily when they're looking, when they're searching, when they're seeking, when they're trying to find something. And in the process of all of that, they find lots of things. I'm one of them. And then they land with us and we start getting to know each other a bit more. And what seems to happen, though, with people is that they keep looking, you know? They keep seeking, and they don't hold still quite long enough for anything to really sink in. And in the process, they overwhelm themselves with more and more and more and more and more and more information. And it can make it really hard when you're seeking clarity or insight to know which of the teachings that you've rounded up to use. And it can cause a lot of self-doubt as you attempt to apply all these ideas. You know, a lot of times when we're looking to change a deep habit, you have to dig into yourself and into your experience. And if you're trying to apply five different teachings to do that and none of them quite get the job done, well, that's really an opportunity to be mean to yourself. And I see that happen way more than feels good. Way, way more than feels good. So that's something that I really wanted to talk about today and see if perhaps we can find some breakthrough about. And it's funny because, and I'll just share this with you, information gatherers make great clients because they tend to, like, read every book and watch every video and book private sessions and try to come to events and things like that because they're used to gathering information. So it is kind of an interesting situation where information gatherers are good clients, but I'm not sure it's good to be an information gatherer after a certain point. I've seen it really be painful for people. The most suffering I see people have is when they're trying to have a baby and they can't. That's the most pain I see people in. Coupled with when someone dies, of course, that's in a whole different category, right, of pain. But trying to get pregnant when you can't, somebody you're very close to dying, and being an information gatherer, those are the top three, believe it or not. And you know, I probably could think of others, but those are the ones that people come to me and want to deal with. So you dig and you dig and you dig and you look and you look and you look and you find and you find and you find, and your life doesn't change. And I bet that's frustrating. I'm sure it's really frustrating. I know it would be frustrating to me. And a lot of times I feel like saying, you know, if you just try these three tools, Elohim used to say, do this for a week. Do this once an hour for a week, or do this once a day for a week, and then let us know how it goes. And we can tweak it if we need to. This is how the tools were born, is Elohim saying, we think this will do it. Let us know if it doesn't, so that we can help, so that we can tweak it, so we can fix it, so we can change it. And that's why it's so great we have the Facebook group, because people can say, I tried this tool and it worked. I tried this tool and it didn't work. You can probably hear in my voice that I feel a little sad about this because I see the pain that people go through. And I'm not even saying you need Elohim for this. What I'm saying is I've seen Elohim help people with this. What I'm saying is that you need to hold still in some way. I was talking to a lady who wants me to be on her telesummit at the end of next month. And I said, you know, what I'd really like to do is create something special. Because I see these telesummits, and they're great for meeting new people, but boy, you know, if Elohim says something to you today, and you work on it, and it brings up uncertainty, and it pushes into the idea of, I don't know if I really want to change this, or I'm uncomfortable, or what will be the repercussions if I change my job, my relationship, my living situation. And then the next day you get 7 more emails with other teachers that want to talk about other subjects. It's really easy to skip around rather than dig in. So we're hoping to create a really special program. It might be like a 3-part program to say, stick around just for 3 hours over the course of more than one day, and let's see if we can really see a big change happen. Because I know that Elohim can change people's lives in a very short period of time, but they can't do it for you. You have to do it with them, with their help. So if you have anything that you'd want to add about being an information gatherer, challenges you're having with being an information gatherer, the healing you've done around that, if you'd like to chime in about that right now, I'd love to hear your thoughts about this. And we can also talk to Elohim about it a little bit later in the call. But I'd love to hear your feedback on it. There's some comments in the chat that I'll read real quick. Let's see. Ooh, I get to scroll. How fun is that? Chris says it does get old looking for the magic bullet, and Carrie says it was definitely frustrating. Richard says it sure does. I used to be a spiritual dilettante before I found Elohim. Yeah, and in this I'm not trying to be critical. I don't want anybody to mistake this reason I'm talking about this. I'm talking about this because I see people suffering. I see people suffering. The other aspect of this that I think is important to point out is the people who suffer with this the most have so much knowledge, so much information. They have been studying and studying and studying. They are like an encyclopedia of spiritual ideas, of spiritual concepts, of spiritual teaching and teachers. They could be a teacher, and they still keep looking. There's this sense that the answer is just over that next mountain. It'll be the next call. The answer's outside of me somewhere else. And what I'm hoping this conversation can wake up in people is the idea of perhaps checking in with what you already know before you go look for something else, or applying what you already have learned before you go someplace else. Chris just commented in the chat that I think I used it to stay out of the moment. Exactly. Now, Elohim has this notion called favorite familiar suffering. I want to explain that really quickly. This idea, woo, when they started bringing this one up, busted. The idea here is that we each have 200, 300, 400, I don't know what the number is. They usually say 2 or 3, but I think that's them being nice to us. Favorite familiar sufferings, which is a place in us that we go to when faced with discomfort, uncertainty, confusion, trigger. The problem is the place we go is a suffering place. It's not that we go someplace within ourselves to feel good. We go someplace that's familiar, and we typically find a place where we suffered because that suffering is the closest thing we have to certainty. It is the trippiest dynamic. It blows Elohim's mind. Like, this is the one thing that makes them go, what about us the most, is that we get a trigger and find a place in ourselves where we feel that sense of, I can beat myself up here and feel a version of certainty. Now, I'll tell my story. I've told so many stories in so many interviews lately that I hope I haven't already told you guys this one, but everyone gets a laugh at Veronica. Even if you've heard it, you'll probably enjoy hearing it again. Math is very certain for me. 2 + 2 = 4 has a soothing effect on me. So when I do my bookkeeping, I feel soothed. I've often said I wish people would just hire me to balance their checkbooks because I find it very soothing, like taking a bath. I really mean it. One time I got hired to balance 4 years' worth of checkbooks. And I was like, oh, it was a business checkbook too. Oh, it was the greatest ever. I loved it. So because that's this place in me where I feel calmer, one time I was having a fight with my boyfriend. This was years ago. In my defense, this was years ago. I was having a fight with my boyfriend. And in the middle of it, I went and got the checkbook, and I called the bank, and I was listening to the checks that had cleared. That was before the internet banking. And he's like, you don't get to do your banking right now. You always do that banking thing when we're disagreeing. And I had no idea I was doing that. But that was a place that I would go and hide. And I'm sure, because I know how little I made back then, the numbers I was finding were very discouraging, and I was suffering in my lack, but I was suffering in a very, very balanced, checkbooky way lack. So that's my story. That's what I did. That's how I used to roll. These days, my favorite familiar sufferings tend to circle around things like, am I doing enough for Elohim's work? Am I spreading the word well enough? You know, have I told, you know, did I do the right thing about promoting such and such? You know, I can always find room there to second guess myself. So the certainty is in the suffering rather than facing the change, the uncertainty, the unknown. And I think a lot of Elohim's work is helping us, what they call, abide in the discomfort of uncertainty long enough to discover what it has to offer and where we can grow from that moment, where we can grow from that moment. Because everything comes out of uncertainty, the blank canvas. Everything comes from there. So we have to face uncertainty with courage, and we have to face uncertainty with willingness to feel a sense of discomfort that we have traditionally processed as danger. Now, I think for a lot of people, that discomfort means listen to a new talk, get another video, read another book, instead of it meaning just sit here long enough to realize what's got me disturbed. So let's. Does anyone want to say something about that? If so, you raise your hand by pressing *6 if you're on the telephone, or pressing the microphone icon if you're on the app. So if you want to say something about that, I'd be happy to hear your thoughts about that before we carry on to something else. We definitely read some comment. I read some comments on the chat, but I'd love to hear your voice on this subject if it's something you would like to share your feelings about. Again, *6 on the phone, or click the gray microphone icon on the app. No? That's it? Oh, Carrie. Okay, let me see if I get this click. Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
All right, so were you an information gatherer?
Oh, yeah. I listen to everyone and everything I can get my hands on. And I think I really, at that time, didn't really even know what I was looking for. And that was part of the problem. Like, I didn't really know... I didn't understand that what I was looking for was actually myself, like in me already. Mm. And all it really took was for me to, like you said, sit with myself long enough in the uncertainty to actually see what's there. And just kind of let myself relax, because it was so tiring to keep looking and looking and looking, and I even find myself now when I'm feeling bored, which is I only ever feel bored when I'm tired and I don't want to put the effort into being in the moment. I'll find myself tempted to want to listen to this person or that person, and then I remember I don't need that anymore. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. But, yeah, it was definitely a huge part of my daily life.
Yeah. I really appreciate you sharing that, because what I'm feeling as you're talking about that is the difference in your body. So when you abided in the discomfort of uncertainty long enough to discover what was there for you, waiting for your attention, it feels like your body got to really relax, mm-hmm. even as you were abiding in the discomfort of uncertainty.
Yeah, and even talking about it now, I get, like, tense.
Yeah.
Just thinking about it again.
Yeah. I'm breathing with you, because I can feel it in my body. Like, I can feel my body going, I remember what that was like. Oh, my God, let's relax the shoulders.
Yeah, it was like, it was the hamster wheel mind manifested physically. Basically.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. That's a really good way to say it. The looking and looking and looking and looking and looking. And a way that this showed up for me wasn't, I mean, I used to read a gazillion books, of course, back in the day before I met Elohim, but the way it also looked up, showed up for me was, you know, always seeking an authority figure to tell me what I should do. Not just studying to figure out what to do, but imagining, well, this guy seems confident. I bet he knows what I should do right now, instead of checking in to see what I felt about the situation.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
thanks,
I didn't trust myself, so.
Yeah, there is a trust factor, isn't there? A trusting self. You know, a lot of people will say, oh, trust in the universe. Oh, trust in your angels. Oh, trust in whatever. I always have a little bit of suspicion about this word trust because I always feel like it's handing off responsibility. But if the trust is, what if I just counted on myself right now? I'm into that. I'm totally into that. Yeah. Thanks so much for raising your hand. I'm going to put you on mute again so we can hear from somebody else.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks. Okay, hi, thank you. What would you like to say about information gathering?
Yeah, hi, it's Miche.
Hey, Miche.
Hey. Yeah, well, definitely heavy-duty information gatherer. I was connecting a little more, though, with what you were talking about, the favorite familiar suffering and going into that, which, of course, is a good reason to information gather, you know.
Yeah.
But lately, I've been getting triggered a lot and feeling a lot of tug from my favorite familiar suffering and seeing that it comes up especially when I have been really kind of stepping out and being more vulnerable and then start to feel nervous and question, you know, what I was doing or, you know, what I was putting out. And so I'm trying now, instead of falling into the suffering, to just sort of see it as a signal to myself, was like, oh, you feel really vulnerable now, and to be able to sit with that rather than to go into, you know, whatever the whole suffering story is, that really is just a way to sort of sidetrack me so that I don't keep going in the vulnerable direction.
I think that is absolutely amazing, super conscious, well done you. Really well done you. Would you feel comfortable sharing what your favorite familiar suffering is so that we have more than one example? You don't have to if you're not comfortable, but if you are, I'd be interested in folks hearing another example.
Yeah, because, you know, right after I finished speaking and the millisecond before you said, like, well done me, my favorite familiar suffering came up right there, and it was like, what an asshole. Like, I can't believe, you know, I mean, I get really really derogatory toward myself and be like, oh, you shouldn't have said that, or, you know, what an idiot, or like whatever. And then I just sort of go down some rabbit hole about, you know, sort of gathering every negative outcome or adjective that I can find about myself. It doesn't really matter at that point. It's just like, it's how I paralyze myself.
And I'm giggling only because our favorite familiar sufferings, frankly, they are kind of hilarious if you're not the one experiencing them. Like the idea that I just saw you as kind of carrying around an Easter basket, right? Gathering up all the things that you can say mean to yourself so you can say, look, I can justify suffering now. I have a whole basket of this crap.
Right. Right. And then I can add another one that says, because see, you even said something really smart, and you couldn't even sit still long enough, you know, and if somebody else doesn't, like, tell you, oh, that was smart, you take it away from yourself, you know, so it's a big basket, and I got a lot of muscles from carrying that basket around, and it's exhausting, basket.
But what I love is that you're using it as a signal. You know, it's like when the trains are going and they signal the train. You're going to change tracks. You're going to change tracks. When that familiar suffering comes up, it's like, dung, 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 changing tracks now into vulnerability, rather than using that favorite familiar suffering as a way to distract yourself from the opportunity for vulnerability.
That's the game plan anyway, yeah.
Well, I think
I'm getting better at that. I am, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Really well done. Good job, you. All right. I'm going to switch to
Thanks.
The next person.
All right.
Because now I know how to work this, so Thank you. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Your turn. Yeah, I can. Isn't that great?
That is good. Yeah, I think, well, something that Elohim had said yesterday is that I like to talk myself out of things. So that's probably one of my familiar sufferings, even though I had really no clue about it until I said it. Then all of a sudden, I could go back many moons and many things that I talked myself out of. So it's probably partly to do with that. Like, I'm a serious information gatherer as well. So maybe I can become a recovering one.
Yeah. Yeah, because you talk yourself out of maybe that you already have the answer. So
yes.
I'm going to go watch another video because I talked myself out of the fact that I already have the answer.
Yes.
Ugh. Ooh, I feel that. I really feel it as you say that. Like, when dudes say yes, there's just such a different thing about working with guys. I know when you talked to Elohim, Elohim talked about this too. When guys get the aha and they speak to that aha, it drops in a way energetically that's very different than when women speak to ahas. So when you said yes, I was like, that's not a yes, I think I understand what you're saying. That's a yes, I totally get it feeling. So yay.
Oh yeah, that was definitely bright lights went on all over the place.
Beautiful. I'm really glad you're on the call. Thanks for sharing. I'm going to skip to the next person now, but hang in there. We got lots more to talk about.
Okay.
Okay, Richard, hi.
Hi. Richard
are you
here.
Were you an information gatherer? Do you favorite familiar suffer?
Oh, my. Information gathering, I turned that into my favorite familiar suffering.
Oh, I tell.
I would have some issue that was bugging me, and... Mm-hmm. I had, you know, 3, 4, 5 dozen different channels that I listened to. I had a never-ending supply, having been a radio host for a while, and so I would look up a video, maybe, you know, punch in some person, some entity, and then the subject that I was on, and then I would watch the video, and I would go, oh yeah, that's it. And then 2 minutes later, I'm still, nothing's changed because I haven't done anything. And so then I would beat up on myself over, yeah, see, you're not getting it. You're just not, if you'd have done it, they said what the answer was and you didn't, it didn't work for you. Something's wrong with me, you know, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And there's times, oh, this is years ago. But there were times I might be up until 4 in the morning going through, and I'm not saying that other people's material doesn't work, but it's almost like a framework, or, you know, you could do it with chess or golf, or, you know, there's 100 books on how to play golf, and if you take one little tiny piece from all of the books, they don't go together. They don't, it doesn't, and so I would just keep looking, and like it was a treasure hunt or something, you know, if I just, one more, that one, that's going to be it. Mm-hmm. And and the longer I searched, it was like the worse it got, until I would finally just be exhausted and give up, and then get up and face the same situation the next day or the next day, whenever it came up again, because I never sat still. Sitting still is a good word for it, a good phrase for it. I never sat still long enough with anything to get anywhere. And when I was first with the LA material and really being a subscriber and really being following along, that it was one of the points where we were in that, you know, abide in uncertainty thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Elohim said it enough times, and I finally did, I guess. And it's fascinating to me now because I almost can't listen to other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because it, not because, again, I'm not down in anybody's system. It, They may all work. I don't know. But this works for me. And the other stuff becomes a distraction, becomes an easy way for me to fall right back into, oh, and of course YouTube makes it easy because there's 10 suggested videos on the subject from 10 different people. And so it's designed almost to help you, for me anyway, it's designed to help me just cascade through videos. It's almost like cascading fears or something. It's like, oh, okay, we'll use that Joe Blow tool. Oh, no, we'll use the Jane Doe tool. Oh, we'll use the...
Uh-huh.
And you just keep reaching in the toolbox and you're pulling out a metric wrench and then a regular wrench and then a socket and then a thing and then a... You never get anything done. And so that key to me to get out of that was the... abide in uncertainty and the discomfort of it.
Yeah.
And then it just, because the answer is on the other side of the discomfort. It's not in the next video.
Yeah, I think that it has been my experience as well. And thank you very much for sharing that. That was really, really wonderful to hear about. And it has been my experience as well that when I don't try to run away from what is happening, I get the insight I'm looking for. And that is a bit counterintuitive because the survival instinct says fight or flight, right? And most times we flight. So there's this very sort of pre-programmed thing that says run away from this discomfort when the change actually that I'm seeking is through that discomfort, through it. That's been my experience, and boy, has it changed everything. Today when I was driving on the way to the vet, I was upset, I was crying, I was, you know, really not feeling well, the cat wasn't happy, the car wasn't happy, it was a really stressful moment, and I said, staying with this and disaster scenario, that's not going to be the answer, I know that. I'm going to go to the absolute basic tool that Elohim has said that we can always rely on, which is what is true now. I did what is true now, and I realized I live in Sedona, it's wine country, and I realized the grapevines, we've had what they call bud break. That means that the vines that look just like sticks, now the buds are coming out and the leaves are going to start growing soon. And because we have bud break, I mean, it's a magical time of year. It goes from nothing to all of a sudden this verdant experience, and there was just this sense in me that I could literally feel myself being pulled to say, no, I can worry about all these things that are legitimate worries, or I can look to the right and just admire and be in the beauty of bud break while it's pouring rain after 4 years of drought. And when I let myself just be in bud break with the pouring rain, my body calmed down, I stopped crying, and I didn't cry anymore. I didn't cry anymore. I didn't even cry when I got to the vet. I was calm. It didn't change anything. I still had the vet. I still had the car. I still had all the things that were on my mind, but I was in a different place. But I had to make that choice. This is why Elohim says, well, you are a chooser. You are a chooser. I had to make the choice away from the justifiable 99.99% people in the world would have said, it's totally reasonable for you to be upset right now, Veronica, into a what is true now experience. Not to deny what was going on, but to change my relationship to it. Because the reason I was upset is because I was thinking about the future. But in that exact moment, everything was all right. And it really was. It was really all right in that moment. And that's the place I got back to, was the in-the-moment okayness. Ah. So that was just from today. And the cat's doing much better. She was just grooming herself, so that's a good sign because she laid flat for like 30 hours and did nothing. And so now she's grooming herself. I think that's a positive sign of healing. Anyway, okay, so thank you, everybody, for contributing your favorite familiar sufferings and how you information gather. And here's a tricky bit about all this that I've noticed. Is in the process of being super information gathering, favorite familiar suffering types, we also, or my observation is, the tendency to use your body to set boundaries. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean is that boundaries are best set using words or actions. not using tension in your body. So somebody's doing something that you don't like. Let's say your boss is raising his voice at you. Boss is yelling. I had a boss that used to yell. He yelled so much I almost peed my pants at work because he would scream and yell so much. He yelled so much one day that I actually collapsed from fear. Can you imagine at a job? I mean, this is back in the day when you could get away with this kind of stuff. Nowadays, he'd get sued. But these days, you just sucked it up. He was yelling so much that I actually went weak in the knees and collapsed. So just recalling that version of Veronica. You got this, let's use that as an example. I was getting yelled at by the boss for asking a question, and that was really weird for me. I would have thought he would want me to ask questions and do my job right, but whatever, moving on. Yelling at me, I collapsed. In that moment, the way I set the boundary with him was just to be in utter fear and terror, right? I let my body's fear set my boundary with him, which, of course, was no boundary whatsoever, because all I did was be afraid of him from then on, literally afraid of my boss from then on. So I was letting the fear of my body felt act as my boundary with him instead of using my words or complaining to somebody. I don't know who I'd have complained to. He owned the place, but doing something. Eventually, I just quit, and that was my way of finally getting a real boundary with him. He yelled at me for quitting, too, just in case anybody was wondering. He screamed at me when I quit. So using the body to set boundaries. Now, that's kind of an extreme case, but I wanted to give an example from my life. What I've observed and what I've been told about with other people in our community is just this sense of what it feels to me as tension, but where it shows up is typically respiratory, digestive, and skin issues. So those are the ways you take the outside world in. You breathe it in, you eat and drink it in, and you feel it on your skin. And that kind of actually rhymed, which was fun. So all of those places are sensitivities I've seen people develop when they do this, using the body to set boundaries. And the result, of course, is medical conditions that you don't particularly care for. And it often is about this idea of not speaking up because you don't want to abide in the discomfort of setting a boundary with someone. And the setting boundaries thing is often exacerbated by people waiting way too long to set a boundary. If I had set a strong boundary with that boss from the minute that he had acted that way, he would have either fired me or he would have stopped, most likely. Or I would have quit on the spot, which is what I wish I had done, to tell you the truth. I wish I had just stormed out with my purse. However, in that moment, I couldn't do that because I was only 20 and I didn't know. But in that sense of saying, here is my boundary, rather than using my tension to attempt to set boundaries. So when someone acts a way that you don't like, your stomach curdles, or you feel your shoulders go up, or you feel your back start to hurt, or you feel you're itchy, or you feel like you can't breathe. Because your body's saying, we've got to do something about this, and instead of using your words and your actions to do something, you let the body's tension act as the boundary. This is one of those moments when Elohim will say, don't do that. Don't do that. You got to set boundaries early and often, which means don't wait until they're really, really heavy duty before you speak up or act. Just don't wait that long. Because when you wait a really long time to set a boundary, what tends to happen is you wait a really long time to reinforce that boundary. And when you wait a really long time to reinforce the boundary, the situation tends to snowball on you. Or you think, I have to get upset in order to set a boundary. So when you set a boundary, you set it from the what we call Missy Crazy place. You're kind of a spaz when you set the boundary, which means the people you set the boundary with often just don't even take you seriously. Because you're like, you shouldn't be talking to me like that. And they're like, I don't even know what you're doing. Like, I'm just going to ignore you because you're acting Missy Crazy. So boundaries early and often before you get to the Missy Crazy place so that your body doesn't have to set boundaries for you. But it all requires that in that moment where you feel the sense of needing to set a boundary, you push through the discomfort of uncertainty or abide in the discomfort of uncertainty enough to engage. Engage with the reality of what needs to be done. You have to know what your truth is, which is another use for what is true now, is figuring out what your truth is so you know what boundary to set. So, would anybody like to share about boundary setting and using your body to set boundaries? Anybody have some thoughts about that? Because, boy, so often when we're having a meeting and Elohim will be talking to somebody about setting boundaries, and they'll say, do you have skin, digestive, or respiratory issues? And they'll say, oh, yeah, all three. Hi, Chris. Tell me about it.
Well, I was going to say, it's a work in progress for sure. I'm not very good at setting boundaries. It's kind of backwards, but I'm thinking, okay, if I do have something wrong, you know, respiratory, skin, et cetera, it's probably the warning track that I'm not setting enough boundaries and not setting them early enough.
That has proven to be true so many times that it may not always be true, but it's certainly worth exploring. Because I tell you, this is one of those things that I would say 99.9999% accuracy. When someone doesn't set boundaries, they have these skin issues or these respiratory and digestive issues, and when they have those and Elohim asks, they don't know how to set boundaries. They really go together in almost every case. I can't think of one where it hasn't, but you know, I don't like to speak in absolutes.
Sure.
So why don't you want to set a boundary? What's the boogeyman under the bed about boundary setting for you?
Good question. I guess I was going to say confidence, but that's not quite it. It could be part of it. What is it? Not wanting to offend others.
Mm-hmm.
There's somewhere in there. I have to look at it more carefully. And
of course, being that you suffer rather than offend someone for violating your boundaries.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a common pattern as well. Like, I don't want to upset them by letting them know they're upsetting me, so I'll suffer instead.
Exactly.
Right? Well, when you put it that way, Veronica. Yeah. So if you spoke up about setting a boundary, are you afraid the person's going to get mad at you, stop being your friend? What's the thing that seems like the risky part of it?
Yeah, losing the friendship. Appearing pushy or appearing overbearing, that type of thing.
Yeah. So again, this is we have lots of examples in the history of our work with women talking about boundary setting. We don't have as many as with men. So it's interesting that you said appearing overbearing. So is that sort of like wondering if someone's going to think you're a bossy kind of guy because you set a boundary?
Yeah, bossy, rude, just, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I think that's the boundaries early and often thing. When you set it early on, you can be way more gentle in the setting of it. But if you wait till you're upset, it tends to come out a lot sharper. And what I found is also the straw that breaks the camel's back kind of thing. So you're all worked up. I've done this myself. I got all worked up about something and didn't set a boundary. Then I finally set my boundary from anger, and it's usually the smallest little instance of the boundary violation that I use as justification for setting the boundary. So the other person says, why are you so freaked out? It was nothing. And it's like, yeah, but it was the last straw of a lot of not nothings. So you also tend to set the boundary in this place that's hard to sometimes even explain to people why you're setting the boundary there.
Yeah, I've lost friendships. I've had to eat crow over it. It's not pretty.
Mm-mm. So again, we have the same thing where sitting in that discomfort of the uncertainty, sitting in the discomfort of setting the boundary, holding in that place and then acting from it, once you know your truth, saves so much of the rest of it, saves so much of that what comes on the other side. But you have to stay in that discomfort long enough to change it. Just stay in that discomfort long enough to change that moment you're in. And that is a request. But boy, have I seen it pay off time and time and time again.
I can believe it.
What's that?
I can believe that.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your contribution, Chris. I sure appreciate it. Anybody else want to talk about using your body to set your boundaries? No? That one's clear for everyone? I'll tell you what, let me round up Elohim for the last bit of our call here so that we can have them contribute. And if you want to talk to them, again, do your star 6 or click on the gray microphone icon if you're using the app, and that's the way that we will know you have a question for them. So thanks, everybody, for your great contributions on these topics that we've covered so far. And let me get Elohim right now. It shouldn't take but a hot minute to grab them. Just a sec. Oh, hey, whoa. This is always so weird for us when we come in. There's always something new. Veronica's got all these different things we do now. We used to be so normal and steady and never vary, and now we just do all kinds of interesting things. Earlier today, we were sitting on the couch. Now we've got the cat, and we're sitting here at the computer looking at all this stuff. So it's a very cool time for us. Well, we enjoyed very much your conversation, both about the favorite familiar setting and the boundaries and the body and the other things you talked about. You guys had some great insights, and it's wonderful when you get together as a community in this fashion so that you can help each other. Because this work really goes across all situations, but it's nice to have examples, right? That's what we've done for all these years. So we don't know what else you guys want to talk about, because that was the list of things Veronica had for us. So who has a question? We'll talk about whatever you feel like talking about. You got to do what she said to do, the star 6 or something. We don't know how you do it. You tell us. Okay, you got to do it, or else what are we doing here? If we're not going to do it, don't be so shy. Really? You guys are going to be shy? Really? There we go. Everyone was waiting and being polite. Hang on. Okay, now what are we supposed to do? We push this thing, apparently. Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Carrie. Hi.
Hi.
Okay, we did it. We pushed the button. We're going to eat chocolate while you ask your question. What's up?
I actually don't really have a question, but I didn't want it to just be silent, so.
You're very sweet.
I figured
You're
I'd just say sweet.
Hi. It's nice of you to say hi. We like hearing your voice. That's a fun thing.
Yeah.
Earlier you were saying that you're feeling kind of tired, though.
Yeah, I feel really tired, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I think because all the level 7 stuff we're doing is really a working level, and
for sure,
I can't stay in it too long. I kind of get pushed out of it, and then I just want to sleep.
Yeah. That's completely normal. Don't beat yourself up for that, and don't feel like you're doing it wrong. That's exactly how it goes. You go into it and come out of it, go into it and come out of it, because it's a completely new way of being human.
Yeah.
Completely new way of being human. You know, we said that many times, and so it may seem like we're just saying that, but you know we don't just say stuff.
Yeah.
You know we're very careful with the words we use.
Mm-hmm.
It is a completely new way of being human. You are literally evolving. Literally evolving. And you can imagine that when you're pregnant and making a baby, how tired pregnant women are and how many changes they go through and all that stuff, because they're doing something kind of similar where they're making a new life, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, in essence, you're giving birth to yourself. And so you would expect, if you were big and fat and pregnant and look so cute, we would say, take a nap and put your feet up. Don't push yourself so hard. So the next time you wonder if you should be tired or not, just imagine if you were 7 months pregnant, what you would do. You'd take a nap. Right?
Yeah.
So that's it. It's like that. It's like being 7 months pregnant.
All right, good.
And so it has an effect on the body in a similar way, and it has an effect on your attention. You know, it's that going into it and coming out of it, going into it and coming out of it. Imagine if you were 7 months pregnant and you were trying to psychically communicate with the fetus. You'd do that in very short bursts, and you wouldn't think that was weird.
Mm-hmm.
In essence, you're psychically communicating with your fetal version of you. I mean, don't get too literal here, but we're trying to give you something to compare it to so you don't beat yourself up about it.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, for sure.
Good, good. So, you know, that's a big deal. In and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, nap, 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 and make sure you're eating properly, too.
Mm-hmm.
Are you eating properly?
Yeah, I just started eating much, much healthier.
Good. And you might need to eat a bit more. So, you know, be really patient with yourself as we go through this process. It's a huge process. Be patient with yourself as we do it, okay?
Okay.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Hello, Chris.
Hi. Yeah, I was just going to ask you any other things on the pivoting that you talked about yesterday. But I should probably listen to the sessions and see what you had to say there.
Well, it's good to talk about pivoting because it's not something that we talk about all that often, and it's a really powerful idea. And we don't think that we've ever talked about it on any of these calls, and so it will be new to mostly everybody. So the idea of pivoting is simply this. You have a temptation for reaction. We'll use Veronica's example from earlier because it's handy. She had the temptation to stay in fear and anxiety about what was going on with the cat in the car. And she pivoted to what is true now. She pivoted. And for her, it was really interesting because it literally felt like the left side of her body wanted to do one thing and the right side of her body wanted to do the other. So it's very easy to imagine that she was looking sort of to her left and then she looked to her right. That was actually what she did. She pivoted her attention and used her physical form to pivot to reinforce the, I'm turning away from the habit that I know will give me nothing more. I know it will give me nothing more. It has offered me all it has to offer. And there's absolute and utter justification for staying in that habit. Except for one thing. I know it won't get me anywhere. It'll only just reinforce the habit I'm in, but it won't get me anywhere. It won't change. It'll feel kind of certain in that favorite familiar suffering way, and it'll feel like other people would agree with me that it's a reasonable reaction, and so if I want other people to agree with me, that's a good place to go. But that's all it gives me. It can't help me get more centered. It can't help me feel more peaceful. And it can't help me navigate this with consciousness. It can't change if I stay in that. All it gives me is what it's already given me over and over and over again. And it keeps my body in that tension as well. So pivoting away from it because the line in the sand has been drawn. Yep. I get it. I know why I did it, and I know it has nothing more. I've used it all up. I've used it all up. It's an empty container now that is just going to be an echo chamber for me. Or I pivot away from it to, and you can always use what is true now. And that's what she chose to use because it's the basic one, and it's the place that it's most comforting to go to. She went to what is true now, and in what is true now was able to find a sense of balance and peace that didn't make anything go away, but reassured her that she could handle what was happening. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. And the where possible, the physical turning away, you had mentioned that yesterday as well, but I didn't focus on that. I think that when I can do that, that would be helpful to be able to, turn off to the side and, trying to accompany that, at the very least, as you say, draw a line in the sand and it's enough of that, done deal.
Mm-hmm. And the great thing you can also do is let's just say that we'll just keep using left and right. Let's say the left side is habit and the right side is what is true now. At the very least, if you're standing up, you can just shift your weight to the right foot. No one will even notice. As a reminder, I'm pivoting away from the habit that's happening right here. If you find yourself wanting to be judgmental, you finding yourself wanting to, you know, information gather, you finding yourself wanting to be favorite familiar suffering or react habitually in any way, and you're standing up, just lean onto your right foot as a physical reminder that I want to be different here. And what happens there is that you literally have to use different neural pathways in your brain. You become a different person when you make that kind of a change. And that's what supports this work, is that you're changing the neural pathways you use, and as such, you're changing already. You're changing by changing just a simple shift of your weight. So for those folks who are new to our work, that's how tools get born, right there. You asked us about the pivot tool, now we have the shift your weight tool.
Okay.
That's a new tool, right? So if Veronica was busy making books, which she not isn't really right now, she'd write that up and that would become a new tool, the shift your weight tool. That's how they get born, right there. So Chris, you just birthed the tool. The shift your weight tool. Now, because you're its daddy, you get to use it and report in on the Facebook group how it went. That's
yeah,
our
exactly.
challenge to you. Yes,
okay.
If you birth a tool, you at least have to report in how it went.
Fair enough.
But that's a good one. We like that one because it has a body component. And it also has a funny visual. Veronica likes the ones that there's a nice visual for. And when they have a body component, they're very good for people who move around a lot. You know, if you're out in the world a lot, if you're somebody who, you know, goes out to work, Veronica's at home all the time, but if you're somebody who goes out to work, and we know you do, this is a great one. So if you're standing there with a client and the client's driving you crazy in some way and you have a temptation to be habitual in the response to that person, just lean to your right, do a few what is true now, and then see if a different way of approaching that client comes to you.
Yes. Definitely.
Cool, right?
It is very cool.
And that's not hard. And it's not even woo-woo. Right? Not woo-woo. It's not hard. You don't have to have special clothes. Nobody's requiring a chant every morning at 5 a.m. All you got to do is shift your weight. How much easier could it be? We're not sure. We're really not sure it could be easier than that.
No, that's pretty easy.
Excellent. All right. Well, let us know how that one goes. Thanks for calling.
Will do.
All right. Who else wants to talk? See how tools get made? See how that happens? They just happen in the moment as a response to the energy that's being offered to us. And we go, huh, we know how to change that. No? Nobody else has anything they want to ask? All right. Wait a minute. That's okay. You got plenty. Again, you don't have to be information gatherers even in this moment, right? There's no lack. So there's not the, oh, God, I have to grab this chance to ask Elohim a question. We're around. You can talk to us. We do private sessions. Veronica's on the Facebook group all the time. We practice doing what we call Verohimi. So when she answers questions on the Facebook group, a lot of times it's because we're practicing our merging, which is different than channeling, so that she can have our input as she is actually the one who responds to you guys. So that's part of the reason that we do that Facebook thing, is so that she can practice that. She's doing her own work on herself as she helps you guys, which is pretty darn cool if you ask us. Well, it seems like that's the end of our time together. Oh, somebody's popped up just at the end. We will get your question right now. Hello.
Hi,
hello?
Veronica. Hi, Veronica. Elohim, this is Tien.
Hey. Oh, hello. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I'm calling from Miami.
Miami, wonderful.
Yes, on vacation. I just want to ask about, let's see, sometimes I have this, like, I guess I've been getting, like, you know where the your leg joins to your main, the trunk of the body, that part, I don't know why you call it, my knowledge of anatomy terms is not very good, but sometimes it hurts, like on my right side. So do you know what that could be besides,
when you,
like, I'm not very flexible?
Yeah. When you touch it, do you feel bumps?
Do I,
hello?
When I touch it? Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. Do you feel does it feel extremely sensitive and or like there's a lump there in that part of your body?
A lump? No lump. It's
okay.
It's
good.
Like no lump.
The reason we ask is because you have a lot of lymph nodes there. And, you know, we're not doctors, we don't diagnose, but we're going to share with you what we have learned about the energetics of the body, which is this.
Okay.
Whenever there's a place where there's lymph nodes, oftentimes light worker types, which of course you're one, tend to cleanse their bodies through their lymph system more than other systems.
Mm-hmm.
And so if Veronica does a whole bunch of work on herself, spiritual work, and has big insights, her lymph system will get irritated, and that is the spot in her body where it shows up the most. She'll actually get a lump there that is super painful to touch, and it goes away after a few days for her. But oftentimes that area of the body is about your lymph system being worked, and oftentimes that's because you've done some big work and your body's processing that energy and detoxing. The interesting thing about the body is it sort of hangs on to things. We're not sure exactly what the biologists would call this, but this is what we see energetically. Let's say something happens in your life. You experience some sort of a trauma of some kind. And the body excretes chemicals based on that trauma. And sometimes the body will hold on to those chemicals rather than have them come out in your urination or your defecation. It holds on to those chemicals. And it keeps them sort of walled off. And then when you change and transform and heal, the body's like, oh, don't have to hold on to those anymore, and they let them go. That process, whatever the regular old doctors would call it, we have no idea what it's really called. That's what we have seen happen with people. That process often involves some irritation and inflammation of the lymph system as the body cleanses that out. So that would be our suggestion to you, that you're having some lymph drainage.
Lymph drainage. Okay, where my legs join to my trunk of the body, right?
Yeah. Okay. So like if you have a belly button, right? You got a belly button. So if you go down from the belly button between where you get to where, you know, maybe some people have hair, and then go right or go left, that part of the body where it creases when you sit down.
That crease part, right?
Yeah, that crease part. Yeah, that's exactly the part we're talking about. Yeah.
Okay.
That's been our experience, and we would imagine that could be true for you, because we know you do a lot of work on yourself. And you, as you reach into new opportunities and expand yourself and heal, we have just seen it time and time again that the body, when it releases, the lymph can inflame slightly as it's releasing. Now, if this is a pain that continues for a long time, you may want to check in with the doctor. We're not doctors, and we don't tell you whether or not to go to the doctor. We're just telling you what we see happen energetically. And we've definitely had other people have this happen. It's not just you and Veronica. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. How do we flush it out faster?
Well, one thing that helps is not to be afraid. Like if you're going to go to the doctor about it, go to the doctor about it, but otherwise try not to be freaked out about it, because that doesn't help. And gentle walking, gentle movements will help as well. Just gentle, but not, you know, you don't need to go run a marathon. Just gentle movements, because the lymph system sort of pumps through the body. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. But you could look up lymph. You could look up lymph drainage online and get some tips as well,
we're sure.
It's not something we're experts at. Okay. We know what's going on energetically, but we don't always know exactly what to do about it physically, because, you know, the not being a doctor thing. We see what's happening. So yeah. But
okay.
What we
lymph
believe
drainage.
Is lymph, L-Y-M-P-H. It's very funny word.
L-Y-M-P-H.
Yeah. Lymph.
Okay. Got it. Great.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I will.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. Nice to hear your voice again. Bye-bye. Yeah, Veronica would get it. It'd feel like a big, big bump in that part of her body, and barely touching it would hurt so much. And that hasn't happened in a long time, but it used to happen, you know, fairly regularly. The lymph system would get flared up. So it's one of those things that we've always said the light workers tend to use their lymph system to release things. We don't know if that's true for other people. We don't know a lot about the lymph system other than that. Anyway, it feels like that might be a good notion to stop on. Unless anybody else wants to jump in real quick with a last-minute question, we think that's about time to shut it down. Yep. Okay, good. Then we will say goodbye to you all for now. Thank you so much for joining us. It was lovely to share this time with you again. We'll also say goodbye for Veronica and remind you that if you're not already on the Facebook group, join us there, Connect with Elohim. And if you would like to book a private session, please do so. You can reach us on our website, which is Elohim.com, E-L-O-H-E-I-M. And if you add a /private to that, you will find our private session information. There's all kinds of recordings about all kinds of things we've talked about, and Veronica's reminding us also that we have more than 20 books, and you can find those on Amazon as well. Do you guys like our "we're doing the announcement" voice? That's our "we're doing the announcement" voice. We had fun with that. All right, everyone. Thank you so much again for coming. Bye-bye.